The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that's good. Thank you for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 24. Now, I know where your mind probably is right now. If you brought some food, you're probably thinking, I hope that it is where I put it. You're probably thinking this, if you came and you didn't bring any food, you're probably thinking, I can't wait to eat what everybody else brought. If you're here and you brought food or did not bring food, I think that probably your mind is probably on the back 40 back there, and you're dreaming of turkey, and you're dreaming of ham, and you're dreaming of chicken. And if you're not already, I just ruined it for you. But I want you to listen to me very attentively this morning, and I'll not take over the time that I normally take. By the way, tonight I'll be preaching on how to wise up to Satan, and be a powerful message tonight. I invite you back for the 6 o'clock hour. We're in John chapter 20 and verse 24. The Bible says, but Thomas, it says, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. Now watch that, very noteworthy. Was not with them when Jesus came. Look down in verse 25, as I read a moment ago. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, says, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, wait a minute. Could that have changed if he would have been there with the disciples? I have been to ball games, and I have seen people that when they went into the ball games, they were lethargic, and they're sitting there like a bump on the log. Then all of a sudden, the stadium or the place where the game is being played rises up with a great hooray. And all of a sudden, you see that person rising up also. Could it have been if he was in the place where the disciples were that maybe he would not have had as much doubt as he did have? I want to speak to you this morning on what the saints, or when the saints get out of place. I want to give you some ideas what happens when a saint gets out of place. First off, we'll see this. Being out of place causes doubt. Here, Thomas, and I want to refer back to those scriptures a moment ago that I read. John chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says, But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. There's something, and I know there's a great truth to this right here. I mentioned this in my Sunday school lesson this morning, where it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that you come to church, the more that God will take the Word of God, and He will build your faith. I mentioned that it's like taking vitamins. You take vitamins, and you may not see the immediate effect on vitamins, but it's like building a shield. And that shield, of course, is that immune system that causes you to be able to protect yourself from things that may attack your physical body. And so we understand this, that that's like the Word of God. As you come and you hear the Word of God, and it goes in, 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 then that builds your faith, whereby when you have a strong faith, it's easier to believe God. If it's easier to believe God, it's easier to trust God through prayer and through obedience and things of that nature. And so it's very, very important that we understand that we have the resources right now to be able to build our faith. I submit to you that you have the ability to build a strong faith, or you have the ability to build a weak faith, in direct proportion as to how much time you're allowing the Word of God to be able to come into your system. All right? And that's how come I say it's very important that a person does come to church. You say, well, I come to church, I don't get everything out of it that I feel like I ought to get. Well, you don't feel like that you're getting everything out of it that you feel like you ought to get by eating right and taking vitamins, but it sure does help you not to get sick. It sure does help you not to come down with something that is going to be something that is going to deter you physically and get you off base. The Word of God is thus so. And isn't it true where the Bible says that we are supposed to have the shield of faith? Now, you can have a little bitty shield, and when the fiery darts of the wicked one comes against you because of your faith is the size of your shield, you can have a little bitty thumb type of shield, and when the fiery darts of the devil, the wicked one, is flying against you, you're not going to have much protection. Or you could have a big shield of faith, depending on how much of the Word of God you put in you that will become your protection, will be a greater shield. That's why I say it is important to go to church on Sunday morning, and it is important to go to church on Sunday night, and it is important to go to church on Wednesday night, and it is important to get in your Bible and read your Bible every day, and it is important to listen to preaching during the week. Now, why? Because it is going to build your faith. Weak faith people do not accomplish a whole lot for God. Now, understand this. We understand that being out of place causes us to doubt. Here he was. All the other disciples were there, but the Bible says that he was not with them. Look down, if you will, in verse 25. The Bible says, he said, except, he says, I take my hand and I put my hand in his print of the nails. Except I take my hand, if you will, and thrust it completely into his side. All right, he's saying this. He said, I will not believe. All right, now wait a minute. And so he's saying, I've got to be able to feel it, touch it, taste it in order to be able to believe it. Well, is that faith? Is that faith? You know, sometimes you have to trust God. Sometimes you have to put your belief in God. Sometimes it doesn't look right. Sometimes you don't understand what is right. But if you put your faith and your trust in God, God can help it to become right. So statement number one, being out of place causes doubt. You know, you take a young person that is young in their faith and they go off to a secular university here in the Dallas metro or whatever. If they're not careful, if they do not spend time building that faith, somebody's going to cause them to doubt. How many believers have I seen go off to secular universities and a professor will be up there and all he does is mock and make fun of and mock and make fun of and mock and make fun of, and before you know it, they begin to doubt their faith. But if they take time to get in that Bible and they build that faith and they build that faith and they build that faith, then it will help them to overcome all obstacles that is confronting them. So being out of place causes doubt. Statement number two, being out of place causes denial. Denial. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. The Bible says, then cometh Jesus, it says, unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith, it says, unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. So Jesus is saying at the edge of Gethsemane, before he enters in to that place of prayer, he says to that which is Peter, James, and John, the three inner circle disciples, he said, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to sit here. I'm going to go over yonder and pray. All right. And so he told them to sit there. All right. As they're sitting there, they become kind of slumberous and they begin to fall asleep. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't too long after that when Peter begins to deny the Lord. Wasn't too long after that when Peter takes on that which is a former lifestyle and begins to get backslidden outwardly. But can I tell you, dear friend, before a person ever gets that which is outwardly backslidden, it always starts in the heart. Always starts in the heart. You say, well, what do I do with that? You know, the Bible says where a man's treasure is, stay with me now, there will his heart be also. Brother Craig, stand. If I'm doing this, and Brother Craig is a picture of the church, all right? And so when I say church, I'm talking about the born-again baptized believers who collectively come together with the intent of getting out the gospel around the world, a picture of the church, all right? If I'm spending a lot of time around the church, now wait a minute, watch me. If I'm spending a lot of time around the church, I get to see everything that is in the church. I get to understand everything that is in the church. The church is the born-again baptized believers. So as I get close to a born-again baptized believer in the church, I get to examine them closer, because if I had not have been there, I would not have known them. So what happens is I begin to get to know them. Now there's pros and cons to that. As you get to know somebody, you begin to understand their assets. That's the pluses. But as you get close to somebody, you also begin to understand their liabilities. That's the minuses. Now, what you have to understand is if you'll stand up, Brother Jonathan, hold your Bible right in front of his face. I need to take and stand to the right or left. I need to be able to take and hold your Bible in front of his face and stand to the, there you go. And so what I would, there you go. And so I need to examine him. Now, stay with me now with the same type of love and the same type of care and the same type of desire as our Lord Jesus would. So when I see him, if I just see him in his flesh, minus the word of God, then here's what happens. All of his liabilities spring up. But as I'm commanded to love the brethren, stay with me. As I'm commanded to love the brethren, if I see him through the word of God, then all of his assets come up. So the more that I'm walking with God, the more that I'm spending time with God, the more I will value others that are trying to do the same thing. So, by the way, that's the way you can view your children. The arm of the flesh shall fail you. Every time a child does something wrong, that's that arm of the flesh. But if I view them through the flesh, I see, and by the way, you're not going to find a perfect child. You're not going to find a perfect parent. You're not going to find a perfect Sunday school teacher. You're not going to find a perfect choir member. You're not going to find a perfect assistant pastor. You're not going to even find a perfect neighbor, no matter where you go. All right, now wait a minute. But if I examine them through the Word of God, I have a different view because it's filtered. We have reverse, I think it's called, I think it's called reverse osmosis, something like that. Water system that's underneath our sink. Is that how you say it, honey? Is that how you say it? R-O, thank you there. We have R-O. That we don't drink R-U in our house, we drink R-O in our house. All right? And so, wait a minute, watch this if you will. And so, it's filtered. Can I tell you something? When we taste it, it has a different taste to it. I'm a coffee drinker. How many drink coffee? Raise your hand. Drink coffee. Okay, I drink coffee. Now, I like that it's called a community coffee. I like that. Now, wait, watch it. You know, when I drink it with just regular type of water, it tastes different than when I drink it with the RO. It tastes different. Okay, now, can I say this? You know why? Because it's filtered. It's filtered. When we come to church, listen, be very, very careful that you don't become judgmental of somebody else or critical of somebody else, because what you're doing is you're showing your lower state of being and that you're not doing it through that which is the filter of the Word of God. Amen. You allow that Word of God to filter. Now, that doesn't mean this. That doesn't mean that everybody in here is not supposed to grow. He has, give me your Bible. He has a responsibility as the church, take the Bible. He has a responsibility as the church, go away. He has a responsibility as the church to grow. And the only way he can grow as a church, the only way you can grow as an individual church member, hey, we're not supposed to be a stumbling block. We are supposed to be above reproach. We are supposed to be holy. We are supposed to live for God. We are supposed to be all that we're supposed to be. And can I tell you, the way that you'll be able to be all that you're supposed to be is allow that Word of God to become a part of your life. It's not something that you pick up on a Sunday morning, and it's not something that you just pick up on a Sunday night, and it's not something that you just pick up on a Wednesday night. You live in it. You breathe it. You walk it. You memorize it. You live it. You allow that Word of God to become a permeating factor inside of your life so that people, when they see you, they see God not just around you, not just over you. They see God in you and working through you. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, so being out of place causes denial. Here, the Lord said, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to sit here. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to pray. As he went over and prayed, and he came back, these guys are snoozing. Man, they're sound asleep. The Lord said, what, could you not wait? Could you not stay awake? Could you not? What was he saying? He was asking them, what was the problem? Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. I'm saying being out of place will cause doubt. Thank you, Brother Craig. Statement number two, being out of place will cause denial. First, it's on the inside. By the way, you listening? They're all the way back in the book of Genesis. Satan comes walking through the garden. Here's what he said. Yea, have God said? You remember in your Sunday school lesson this morning in John chapter 4? Satan even said the same thing to that which was the wicked one. Satan said the same thing to that which was the Lord Jesus. And he said, is it written? What was he doing? He is trying to get somebody. He was trying to get him to do these things. And the Lord Jesus came back and he said, it is written. I'll get it right. He said, it is written. What was he doing? He was answering that temptation by what? The word of God. And if we're ever going to be able to overcome that which is a problem, we have to go back to the Bible. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody in here has arrived. Nobody in here is on topside all the time. I wish we all knew the funny jokes, don't you? I wish we all knew how to take and give everybody, if you would please, a fantasy ride for their life. But you can't live there. Life is not always fun. Life is not always happy. Life is not always a bowl of jelly. Life is not always Christmas and Christmas presents. Hey, sometimes there is trouble. Sometimes there is cancer. Sometimes there is heartache. Sometimes there is problems. But how is it that we can overcome such problems? Can I tell you, we have to decide that we're not going to be out of place. Why? It causes doubt. Being out of place causes something else, denial. Statement number three, being out of place causes a lack of physical necessities being met. You know, how many of you have ever been in the right place at the right time and something, stay with me now, and something good happened to you? You were in the right place at the right time and something good happened to you. Raise your hand. Yeah, I've been there. I've been in the right place at the right time, and somebody had come up and say, hey, look, you know, I got these extra tickets. I realize you're getting ready to pay, maybe to go into, a state fair, or maybe getting ready to go into, and I got these extra, and I just want to be a blessing. Right time, right place. Hello? I've taken people out to eat before, and I get ready to grab the ticket, and they grab the ticket and say, no, preacher, no, 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 can't do that, preacher, no, 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 no. Right time, right place. Hello? The neatest illustration I like to give is when I did travel in evangelism, I like to drink coffee in that area. So every time I would stop to fill up, which is about every 400 miles, I'd fill up a coffee cup. I'd go in and get coffee. I'd always do it like this. Of course, you know, I want to try and conserve money. And so I'd go in and say, look, I just filled up my tank full of gas, and I like a free cup of coffee. And most often, they would say, well, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You can have a free cup of coffee. I said, well, thank you so much. If I ever pass this way again, I'll try and stop in. You know, and I remember this one time, and I said, you know, I just filled up with gas, and I like to get a free cup of coffee. They said, have as much as you want. I said, well, can I get a cup for my wife? They said, well, sure, have as much as you want. And they were willing to give me the whole pot. You know, sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time. Sometimes what God will do when you're in the right place is he will meet some of your physical necessities. I remember one time I was in the Philippines, I broke a tooth. It's the first time I ever went to a dentist in the Philippines. First time ever. I was scared to death. You know, and so I broke a tooth. And I found out that there was three dentists that was at the church where I was preaching at. And so the pastor called one of the dentists and said, just so happens he can work you in. Right place, right time, blessing. Come on. I remember I was visiting a church many years ago, and the pastor said, do you have any needs in your life? I said, I'd like to get an apple. And he said, apple? And I said, well, yeah, Brother Jonathan's doing some graphic design stuff and stuff like that, and I really need an apple. And it hit him. I wasn't talking about the physical apple that you eat at the fruit shop. And he said, wow. He said, you know, He said, well, I tell you what, do you ever use a computer? And I said, well, yeah, I do. And he said, man, and he brought it before the church that night. Well, he got with Brother Jonathan. He said, I don't want you to buy one Apple computer. I want you to buy two. And he got up before the church that night. And he said, how many of you love the Wellses? And they raised their hand. How many of you, God has used the Wellses to do some miraculous works in your life for the Word of God, and God has used them as a vessel, and how many God has used them in your life somehow? Raise your hand. And they raised their hand, and he said, good, because he said, I just bought them two Apple computers, and we need to raise the money for it tonight. So how many of you would be willing to give? I've already spent the money. It was upward to $7,000, something like that. What was it back then? $7,000. And he said, I just want to let you know that we're loving the Wells family. And he said, I just knew you would be for it. And he said, so therefore, he said, I've already put it on the church credit card. And now we need to get the money. Now, I don't do that here. Are you thankful? But what a blessing that was to us. And he and his people were so tight, and he knew the heart of the people. But anyway, and so they started standing up. Well, I'll give 1,000. Well, I'll give 500. Well, I'll give 1,000. And man, we're sitting there, and man, tears are coming down our face, and we're crying because we've never seen that type of love demonstrated in that type of way before. Now, can I tell you, listen, when you're out of place, sometimes you miss those physical things God wants to do for you. Here's what the Bible teaches in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, it says, and get thee, it says, to Zarephath. And the Bible says here, which belongeth unto Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Now here's Elijah. What if Elijah said, no, I'm not going to go do that. The brook had already dried up, and God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you down to this widow's house, and she is going to be the one that's going to sustain you. Now, can I tell you, God has a plan to even be able to sustain you physically. God can do that. Statement number one, being out of place causes doubt. Being out of place, statement number two, causes denial. Being out of place, statement number three, causes a lack of physical necessities. Statement number four, being out of place sometimes delays God's work. Sometimes we ourselves, being out of place, can delay what God is trying to do. You take the story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, by the way, Jonah, what he did is he delayed. God said, arise and go. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a first-time Christian, not a second-time Christian. But the very first time, what he did is he went down to the port and he found a ship that was going to go over to Tarshish, which is 500 miles in another direction away from where he's supposed to be. May I remind you, there was a time that Peter did backslide, but he stayed by the place where he used to serve God. And when God spoke to his heart, he immediately got right with God, was able to pick it back up and go again. May I remind you, there was Jacob. Jacob got backslidden of the Lord, and it took him 20 years to get back to where he should have been. Now, can I tell you, it is very important that you and I decide that we stay by the side. Come on. Not everybody. I wish it was so. Don't you? Don't you wish it was this way? Don't you wish it was this way? Don't you wish that everybody that came to church was always, I mean, they were just always, I mean, wouldn't that be great? I mean, for me, it'd be great. I mean, for me, it'd be great. It'd be great for me. You know, wouldn't it be great? Come here and help me a little bit. Wouldn't it be great? You guys come here and help me a little bit. Wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden you came to church and just smile real big and look out at them? And wouldn't that be great if that's all you ever saw? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Come here, two girls right here. Come here. Yeah, come here, both of you. Come here, come here, come here. Wouldn't it be great? Watch this. Come here, come here, come here, right here. Just stand right here, down right here, down right here. All right, watch this, watch this. Come here, guys, right here. Just stand right here, just stand right here. Come on, watch this, watch this. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? Give me an adult right here. Just come right over here. Right over here. Come on, you three guys right here. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great when you came to church? Just all smile real big. Smile. 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 Show your teeth. There it is. Good. And wait. Wouldn't it be great that when you came to church, that this is all you saw? I mean, you know. All right. Go ahead, guys. Jump up and down. Jump up. Smile and jump up and down. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? You guys are really excited, aren't you? Okay, all right. We're not in the Olympics. It's okay. All right, wait. But wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great, you know, when you would see young people walking up that, down the hallway, that they're just smiling. You know, they come up to you and they shake your hand and say, oh, great to see you. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here too.
Hey, Pastor, I'm praying for you.
Praying for you.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Hey, I'm glad to shake your hand.
You too.
Okay, forget these illustrations, okay? But what I'm saying is this. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you are in the right place, just because you're in the right place, I look out there this morning. I've got guys that started setting up the tents out there between 6:30 and 7:30. Can I tell you, these guys are tired. You know, I look out there and I see some of them going, oh. We got guys here that worked all night long. All night long, just got off, 30 minutes, changing, coming in, tired. Some of you sat up playing video games till 2 o'clock this morning. Of course, they're all Christian video games, I know. Tired. But wouldn't it be great, thank you, be seated. Watch this if you will. Here's what we see. We see statement number one, we see being out of place causes doubt. Statement number two, being out of place causes denial. Statement number three, being out of place causes a lack of a physical necessity. Statement number four, being out of place sometimes will delay God's will. It will delay God's will because we're not in the right place. If you're not in the right place, can I tell you, it's hard for God to get a hold of your children's heart when you're not in the right place. Can I tell you, it's going to be hard for God to do a work in their heart. We got people in here this morning. You drive 45 minutes away. I mean, you're 45 minutes away to come to church. Hey, I commend you for that. I'd rather drive 45 minutes, be in church, have my kids around the right type of people, then drive 10 minutes away, be in church, and it be around the wrong type of people. See, being in the right place can cause a delay in God's will. Let me give you one more and I'm done. Here it is. Being out of place causes souls to be lost. Being out of place. You know, Brother Calhoun did a good job along with Brother Kazar and others that has helped with some of the buses. And Brother Calhoun started helping with some of our buses really for the big day, planning for the big day, and helped us to be able to, before he became a member. But there was a place for him. Can I tell you, God has places for you. So, preacher, I'm coming to church here, and I just don't know where my place is. Hey, if you'll come to me and say, preacher, I want a place to serve, I can tell you, I will load your boat. I have enough places for you to serve. I can load you up without apology. Matter of fact, I'll probably sleep better at night. Can I tell you this? Look, being out of place causes souls to be lost. Matthew, look at it. I'd like for you to see it if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 1. The Bible says, and the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. The Bible says here, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. The Bible says that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3, Matthew 25. The Bible says that the foolish took their lamps and took no oil for, it says, with them. Verse 4, the Bible says, and the wise took oil in their vessels, and it says, and with their lamps. Verse 5, the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarrieth, it says, they all, now I had something in common here, they all slumbered and slept. The Bible says in verse 6, at midnight when the cry when there was a cry, the Bible talks that at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh, and says, go ye out to meet him. Watch in verse 7, the Bible says, and the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Watch in verse 8, the foolish said unto the wise, give us, it says, of oil, Oil many times in your Bible, symbolic or a picture of the Holy Spirit. It says of your oil, it says for our lamps have gone out. And so here we see statement number next, that sometimes when you're in the wrong place, it causes a deadly delay from God's work. Point number four, point number five is this, and I'm done. Being out of place many times causes souls to be lost. You know, here these ones where they're going to go out and they're going to work. They're going to try and find the oil. The other ones had the oil already with them. Yea, they were going to be able to enter into that which is the bridegroom's presence. And can I tell you, we understand this, that when we're in the right place, we get to see God do a right work. I was out door knocking yesterday afternoon later, and I took Brother Bradley with me, and we had a family that visited here from Terrell, and so Brother Bradley and I we drove out to Terrell and to try and catch that family and to visit with them a little bit. And then came back and had some visits I needed to make in Forney on the way back in. And then he and I kind of parted ways. You know, I had some over in Balk Springs and some areas around about there. Now, can I tell you, listen, did you know that when we delay, many times there are lost people that do not come to Jesus Christ as Savior? I know people that used to be knowing that the will of God was for them to be a missionary, and they never fulfilled it, and there was lost souls that hung in the balance. I know people that used to be close to God, and they were so tender about passing out gospel tracts. They were so tender about, we have a brand new tract. It says you need a fresh start. You know, you can find one at Parkside Baptist Church. And, man, I love the freshness of that, you know. And this is predominantly the only tract that I used. You know why? Because everybody needs a place to be able to come where they can have that type of fresh start. And that fresh start is not given because of a preacher. It's not given because of a church organization. It is given because of the Word of God. But when you have a place like Parkside Baptist Church that's been here for 35 years, 35 years of pastors mounted behind the pulpit, 35 years of teaching, 35 years of preaching, 35 years of running buses, 35 years of reaching out to the community and beyond the community to the world beyond, 35 years of giving out that gospel message of Christ, 35 years of encouraging people, 35 years of helping to strengthen families. And some of you have families that was raised up in this church. 35 years. Now, can I tell you, that speaks well of Parkside Baptist Church to get out that Bible and to love people that way. But what if you get out of place? When you get out of place, sometimes you will miss some of the blessings. When I was younger, I came up on that farm, and one of the things that they did in the wintertime, and I don't know if you've ever had this, they made pumpkin soup. Pumpkin soup. Anybody ever had pumpkin soup? Hey, we got one, two. Okay, two people, me, three people. I feel very lonely right now. They would make pumpkin soup. They put cinnamon on top of it. And man, we had that soup in the wintertime. It was absolutely phenomenal. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I waited around as you could smell it cooking on the stove. I knew what was coming because I've had it before. The Bible says, "Oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good." You know, when you're in the right place and you have a good taste in your mouth of the Lord because God had done it before, you know, God will do it again. And can I tell you that you long for that inside of you? Father, bless, we do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.